All right, here we are planning for retirement, just going about our business, socking away a percentage of every dollar earned so that one day we can live a comfortable life without depending on someone else or an employer or a job, or maybe we just want to roll up a big sum of money so we can pass it along to our kids, our grandkids, whomever, the mailman. If you're doing that through an IRA or a 401k or a 403b or one of those pre-tax retirement account type vehicles, then listen up, because Chad Ritchie is here from the Ritchie Law Office. He is an expert in estate planning. You've heard him here. We enjoy having him, and he joins us right now here in the studio. Hi, Chad. How are you?
Good. How are you, Mark?
I'm good. You were telling me, and I try to keep up on these things, but you have oodles of information that I wasn't aware of before, and I'm not sure where to get started, but you do. And I guess the crux of the thing is that money that you're leaving, assets that you're leaving for those after you pass away, when you get into retirement accounts, those are dealt with differently. In other words, if you were going to leave me $10,000 that you had in the bank, when you passed away, the executor of my will or my estate would hand me a check for $10,000. No problem. I don't have to pay tax on it because it's below the threshold for doing so. But if it comes out of a retirement account and I'm a beneficiary, maybe it's my father, maybe it's my mother, maybe it's my wife, those are all dealt with differently in each of those circumstances, aren't they?
That's correct. Yep. So when you talk about estate planning, all of the assets that you own are part of your estate. And from an estate planning standpoint, I categorize those in one of two ways. It's that those assets are either considered a probate asset or a non-probate asset. And so when you talk about retirement accounts, those are non-probate assets because they have beneficiary designations, like you said. And so when someone passes, then we look at those beneficiary designations on that retirement account and we see who inherits the money in that retirement account. And like you said as well, most of the time, most assets that are in someone's estate, when someone inherits those assets, there's no income tax issue. You don't have to pay income tax on that. But with retirement accounts, because the person who's passed away has been paying pre-tax dollars into those accounts, the government, the state and federal governments are going to want to get that their money, their tax money out of there sooner rather than later after someone passes away. So there are some special considerations when we talk about retirement accounts and how we inherit those assets.
The difference is that IRAs, pre-tax retirement plans, the fact that you didn't pay tax when you invested in them, that's the whole game changer on those.
That's right.
And it can be different if you're, and you were just talking about this, if your beneficiary is your wife or your kids. If it's your wife, you can roll that, she can roll that right into another IRA.
Right.
For example, if it's an IRA. If it's your kids, it's not as simple, is it?
Right. So if your primary beneficiary is your spouse, which it is most, a lot of the times, then when someone passes, their spouse can roll that, has the option to roll those IRAs right into their own IRAs.
Which is a great idea, because then you don't end up, you know, you recover the entire sum of it right there.
Right. And so when we talk about retirement accounts, something that we always have to consider are the required minimum distributions. And so that's when the government is requiring you to take distributions from that retirement account so that they can actually tax that money that you're receiving.
And
from
that's determined by age, right?
Right.
In most cases?
So if you have your own retirement account, your own IRA, then you don't have to start taking these required minimum distributions, or RMDs is what they call them, until you're 70 and a half. If your spouse inherits your IRA, she or he does not have to take them until they're 70 and a half as well, because they can just treat that IRA just like it was their own. But like you were saying, if it's a son, if your son or somebody other than your spouse inherits that retirement account, then they have to start taking required minimum distributions right away. And so let's say, for example, let's say that John Smith passes away. That's just a made-up person. And he leaves his, he names his son Tom as his beneficiary of his retirement account. Let's say that Tom's 40 years old. Tom has to start taking required minimum distributions from the day he inherits that account, from the first year he inherits that account, through the day he dies, or all the money's gone from that account.
Is there? I imagine there's a way to do that. You know, everybody's needs are different. You know, Mr. Smith's son may need that money. May be literally coming from a drop from heaven for him, because he may have some financial difficulties, or he may have an emergency. But somebody else may say, you know, I want this to grow as much as I can for as long as I can under these restrictions. How can they do that? Is there a way to not take too much of it out? I guess the minimum distribution is the way to do that, right?
Right. So the federal government is going to require you to take these minimum distributions out every year. So let's say that's $1 million IRA or something like that he inherits. He may only is required to take $20,000 out a year. Like you're saying.
But you have to pay tax on that.
You have to pay tax on that $20,000 or whatever that amount is.
Because it's a retirement account and no tax was previously paid when the investment was made.
Right. And so, Tom, the son that inherited this IRA, may need more. He may need $50,000 instead of the required minimum that the government's saying he has to take. So if he takes anything above and beyond the required minimum, he's also paying income tax on that. So at the end of the year, he's going to get income from this retirement IRA and income that he also earns on his own, and that's what he's going to pay taxes on. So a lot of people don't understand that when you do inherit an IRA and you do take distributions, that if it's pre-tax dollars put in there, such as a traditional IRA, you're going to have a higher tax bill because of those distributions.
Yeah. And I won't get into the whole idea. Maybe we can talk about this at another time. Your thing's not investing. But in my head, I'm thinking about if you don't need that money, what are some of the ways that you can maximize that and still take the minimum distribution? Maybe you could take that minimum distribution and use it as an investment vehicle to continue to maintain what it is your dad was trying to do in the first place.
So, yeah, I'm not a financial advisor.
Exactly.
I'm an estate planning
attorney.
That's
just my mind going off on a tangent.
Right.
Because, you know, I like the idea of a big wad of dough.
So from an estate planning standpoint, the question is, are you okay with your heirs inheriting this money outright for them to manage the money on their own? Because if let's say they take out all of the money at one time, let's say it's a $500,000 IRA.
Not everybody is responsible.
Right. Not everybody is responsible with the money. And so if they take out all that money, that's $500,000 of income that they are now going to have to pay tax on. So it could be a tax time bomb is what I've heard these things being referred to. So if you have a family situation where you think, man, I think I want my IRA money managed correctly, then I've wrote an article on this. It's on my website. There's a thing called a standalone retirement trust. And so that's a special trust with special language in there that protects that required minimum distribution to be paid out over a longer period of time than it would be if a normal trust was named. And it also allows a trustee now to manage the distributions to your son or your other who you would otherwise name as a beneficiary.
So you can actually, after you pass away, still manage your money so that it is that the people who are inheriting it don't mismanage it.
Correct. Because as long as that money is still in the IRA, it's still accumulating interest tax deferred in that IRA account. So you could really leave a much larger gift to your beneficiaries, to your children, if it's put in a tax a retirement trust and it's managed properly.
Now, I'll just play devil's advocate with you here, because I totally agree with what you're talking about. But let's say your heirs, there's a medical issue or something that, you know, it's very expensive.
Right.
Maybe there's an emergency, whatever, and they need a lot of money, and they'd rather not take out a loan, or maybe they can't get a loan, whatever those circumstances are. But they could really use that inherited IRA, a big chunk of it. But the trust says, nope, sorry, this is all you get.
Well, most of the time with these trusts, you're going to have language in there, and that's where we design what you want and how you want your heirs to spend this money or have this money available to them. So you could say, I want my heirs to have all of the income every year just pass through directly to them. So they get the required minimum distributions, and they could get the other income if they wanted. Still, they have to pay tax on that income, but they would have access to it. The other language that is usually in most of these trusts is something called we always provide for the beneficiary's health, education, maintenance, and support. So if there's a large hospital bill, then the health, those bills would be, the trustee could pay those bills through the money in the IRA.
And if you're worried about, you want to help your grandkids with college, mm-hmm. you could put in there that this is going towards their college tuition and all the other expenses. You can earmark it for specific needs if you want, right?
You could. Just the thing with retirement trusts, though, any distributions have a tax.
Of course. And that's always going to happen with a retirement account,
yep.
right?
Yeah, so that's why you just have to take a look at all of the assets in the estate, and maybe there's other ways that you could, other money you could give to the grandkids that wouldn't have a taxable type thing. And then you could maybe give this money to charity or something to save taxes on the money that's in your retirement
account. And again, if your retirement account is going to your spouse, they don't have to take a dollar of it. They can roll it over, right. And unless they're 70 and a half, and then they would have to roll it over but also take the minimum distribution.
Right.
What's the minimum distribution? Is it a percentage?
It's a calculation that the IRS has.
Based on your age?
Based on the age and the amount of money in the retirement account.
Okay.
So they tell you what that required minimum distribution is every year.
All right. So you threw out a figure earlier, $1 million at age 70 and a half. What's the minimum distribution there?
I honestly don't know what that would be.
Because you're not a financial guy.
Right.
You're an estate planner. Right.
Right.
I just wondered if you knew.
Right. I thought you might ask me that question, actually.
Well, I'm just
but
curious.
I don't know.
Because I'm kind of a pack rat. It's like my wife says, why are you saving all this money? We never spend any of it.
Right. Right.
So I'm just wondering, like, when are they going to force me to spend any of this? All right. Although, I'm kind of getting off the target here, but with Social Security, I'm taking that the minute I can.
Mm-hmm.
Because the longer I collect it, I figure the more I'm going to get.
Right. Yeah, I know there's, you know.
Like, I'm going to keep the money I'm saving in the bank as long as I can.
Yeah.
But as soon as I can get Social Security, that's coming to me.
Yeah. I know there's different calculations and different things on websites, and also financial advisors definitely can advise people on when they can need to start taking Social Security or what's best for them.
Yeah. What else do you have for us on this topic? Did we cover it all?
That's basically it. I think it's just important to understand that a lot of times people, when you're looking at someone's estate, the retirement account is usually the largest asset that they have. So it's a really important thing. And for people that have trusts, they're going to want to have this conversation about, do I need a standalone retirement trust, a separate trust for my retirement accounts? Or am I okay with just naming beneficiaries and just giving this money directly as an inherited IRA?
Yeah, you have those options, and you may pick one. Of course, if you consult with somebody like Chad at the Ritchie Law Office, he can tell you what direction to go based on your specific and unique circumstances. You mentioned the website and some of these fine articles you've got there to help people get guidance, and also how they can contact you if they have estate planning questions.
Right. So my website is RitchieLawOffice.com, and Ritchie spelled R-I-T-C-H-I-E, and our phone number is 309-662-7000.
How long have you been doing this estate planning stuff?
I've been doing estate planning for about 6 years. So I've been an attorney for 15 years. And really just been concentrating on estate planning for the last 6 years.
Yeah, it must be gratifying to you to help people to protect what it is they've worked for all of their lives or are working towards. Some of your clients aren't older.
Mm-hmm.
They're younger, and they're looking ahead, and that's very wise. But it must be very gratifying for you to do this
kind
of stuff.
Yeah, I enjoy it a lot. I do.
Yeah. All right. Very good. Chad Ritchie from the Ritchie Law Office. Check out his website. Give him a call if you've got estate planning questions about your unique and specific situation.